The trouble, Mildreth said, had begun when her father had granted a tenth of his holdings as Elmasacher, which is land devoted to the church. The church does not own it, but has the right to all that the land yields, whether in crops or cattle. And her father had made the grant, Mildreth explained, because all his children except her had died, and he wanted to find favour with God. I suspected he had wanted to find favour with Alfred, for in Wessex, an ambitious man was well advised to look after the church if he wanted the king to look after him. But then the Danes had raided, cattle had been slaughtered, a harvest failed, and the church took her father to law for failing to provide the land's promised yield. Wessex, I discovered, was very devoted to the law, and all the men of law are priests, every last one of them, which means that the law is the church. And when Mildred's father died, the law had decreed that he owed the church a huge sum, quite beyond his ability to pay, and Alfred, who had the power to lift the debt, refused to do so. What this meant was that any man who married Mildreth married the debt, and no man had been willing to take that burden until a Northumbrian fool wandered into the trap like a drunk staggering downhill. Leofric was laughing. Willibald looked worried. "So, what is the debt?" I asked.
2,000 shillings, Lord, Mildreth said in a very small voice.
Leofric almost choked laughing, and I could have cheerfully killed him on the spot. And it increases yearly? Willibald asked shrewdly.
Yes, Mildreth said, refusing to meet my eyes.
A more sensible man would have explored Mildreth's circumstances before the marriage contract was made, but I had just seen marriage as a route to the fleet. So now I had the fleet, I had the debt, and I had the girl. And I also had a new enemy, Odda the Younger, who had plainly wanted Mildreth for himself, though his father wisely had refused to saddle his family with the crippling debt, nor, I suspected, did he want his son to marry beneath him. There is a hierarchy among men. Beoka liked to tell me it reflected the hierarchy of heaven, and perhaps it does, but I know nothing of that. But I do know how men are ranked. At the top is the king, and beneath him are his sons, and then come the eldermen, who are the chief nobles of the land. And without land a man cannot be noble. Though I was, because I have never abandoned my claim to Bebbanburg. The king and his eldermen are the power of a kingdom, the men who hold great lands and raise the armies, and beneath them are the lesser nobles, usually called reeves, and they are responsible for law in a lord's land, though a man can cease to be a reeve if he displeases his lord. The reeves are drawn from the ranks of thanes, who are wealthy men who can lead followers to war, but who lack the wide holdings of noblemen like Odda or my father.